there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with the Dish. This is John Katzlamitas of Greenspun Media Group. I write the Cats Report on the LasVegasSun.com website and in Las Vegas Sun print. And I write in The Sunday, our new weekly magazine available on news racks all over the valley. Joining me, as always, is Tricia McCrone, the ever-beautiful, ever-effervescent, translucent, no, I don't mean translucent.
Wow,
co-host.
I'm see-through.
How you doing, baby?
I am a little transparent sometimes.
That's just your clothes.
I gotta be honest about that. Sometimes my feelings are pretty transparent.
You are. You're all fired up. What's going on?
I'm all fired up because you know that I'm the TV person. You get, I mean,
yeah, you own a TV.
You know what I mean? No, but I mean, like, I pretty much live and die. I mean, I should be Josh Bell in some ways because not many people watch more TV than I do.
You are a TV, you are educated in TV, you are a fan of TV, you are a great reference source for all things on TV that are not sports, except
exactly.
The Olympics.
Anything that has to do with LeBron James.
Right.
But anyway, we'll get to our guests later, which we will talk about that again, I'm sure. But I have watched every season of The Bachelor.
Okay, tell me about what was happening with The Bachelor. All I know is that this week, The Bachelor is blowing up on social media. What is going on?
It's the most aggravating thing.
It exploded all over Twitter this
ever.
Week.
Oh my gosh, ridiculous.
What is happening?
Okay, for those people that don't know. That's
me.
Yes, for cats, probably. Okay, Juan Pablo. He was a contestant for the former Bachelorette Desiree. And Desiree,
he was on the Bachelorette TV show.
Yes, he was one of the 25 guys or whatever that were trying to be with Desiree, who was a cast off from Sean Lowe's season, to make it all even more confusing. But he got let go fairly early. So you never really got to know him on a one-on-one.
Which sounds like not a bad thing.
Yes, exactly. But people were shocked because he was so good-looking, and he had the accent, and he was athletic, and he had a daughter.
He's got a name, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like
he has a daughter that he was always like, oh, I have to see my Camila. Like he would look at,
you know,
he would Skype
then?
With her. Like she was like
girl.
Four or
okay.
three or something.
Okay. So, he's got game, in
yeah,
other
so
words.
In other words, he had total game. So basically, they make him the next Bachelor. It all seems very well and good until they realize he is a narcissistic D-bag. Can I say that on the radio, D-bag?
Okay. I have a point about D-bag
right.
here in
Thank
a second.
You.
Go ahead, Vince.
He is like the absolute worst. He completely just talks about himself. He had no intention of marrying anybody. So it all comes down to it. And basically, he makes this girl think that he's going to pick her. Talks about having children with her because she really wants children. That, you know, they'll be pregnant within a year, which is just cruel. And then he just kind of says, oh, no, it's not going to be you. And she literally, this girl, Claire, literally is like, no. You are not the man I thought. You said this to me. You could have had some sort of decency and let me know and all this kind of stuff. And then she basically says, I would never want to have children. My children have you as a father.
Ooh.
And she walks away and he goes, I'm glad I didn't pick her. So rude. So then the girl.
So he says
who,
that on the air.
Yes.
Okay.
So then the girl who has now been in love with him, the other girl that Bo says, she's been telling him, I love you. He picks her and he goes, you know, I'm not 100% sure if I want to be with you. So I'm going to say that I have the ring in my pocket, but I am not going to propose. And she's all she keeps saying is, I just want, he'll be able to say, I love you. And he goes, but I don't want to let you go. And she's like, I love you. And he goes, I like you a lot. A lot.
He says this to her.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we're now after the final rose. Everyone's outraged. And Chris Harrison is trying to make some sort of, you know,
the premise of the show is to hook these people up in a committed relationship for real.
Yes. And you don't have to.
This isn't happening.
No, you don't have to get engaged. That's not the rule. And you don't have to say I love you if you don't feel it. But he was trying to, Chris Harrison was trying to host. He was trying to get him to say something. He's like, well, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to say if I love. She's like, well, in the 4 months, he still hasn't told me he loves me. But that's okay. I'm going to stick with them. And he's like, I don't want to tell you that. It is private. I don't want to tell you that. And he's like, well, you signed up to be on this show, like to say your feelings. And now all of a sudden it's over. Well, I've done my digging. And the rumor is, which I think is true, is that he wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars. And when he was not chosen for Dancing with the Stars because he made homophobic and also comments about mentally challenged people. He had retweeted something, and that this is the rumor that they declined to have him because he was not a very, he turned out to be a D-bag. And so he got very angry and said, I'm done with NBC, ABC, didn't go on Good Morning America, didn't go on Kimmel, didn't go on Regis and Kelly and Michael, all of the shows. He basically said, I'm done. And now he's pretty much one of the most hated bachelors of all time. And he won't say he loves it. He goes, we're fine. We're fine. It's our life is private. And even Sean Lowe was like, well, then you shouldn't have been The Bachelor.
Whoa.
And if you think that the publicity is going to go away, you're wrong. And he literally kept saying to Chris Harrison, don't interrupt me. Don't interrupt me. Like, he was so rude that Chris Harrison kept getting up and leaving. The audience was booing. I mean, it was like, I've watched every episode. And it was like, they always say this is the most dramatic rose ceremony yet. It was.
Wow, I don't watch enough TV is the moral of that story. Well, I will live vicariously through
it's
you.
It's okay. Those people that watch the show will know. It's okay.
It's okay. Not to be. Jean.
Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo. All right. With that.
Adela Dazeem.
With that, we're going to welcome someone who has actual aptitude to our show.
And he's got two names as well.
He got three. Eric Jordan Young is going to join us. He's late of Vegas. The show is going to talk all about his new career path. But first, it's Josh Bell with movies. So stick around. I know we will. Las
Vegas! This is Ross Mollison, producer of Absinthe, and you're listening to Cats with the Dish. Yeah!
Wait. You're not going anywhere.
You need to write Caesar. And Ingram is not going to leave this car in the hands of an ex-con who is about to leave the state and break parole.
That's Breaking Bad's Aaron Paul as car racing prodigy Toby Marshall and Imogen Poots as his driving companion in the video game adaptation Need for Speed. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. Aaron Paul can't do much with the role of a laconic badass who sets out to get revenge on the man who killed his best friend. For a movie whose sole purpose is to watch cars driving really fast, Need for Speed takes an absurdly long time setting up its main plot. Some of the racing stunts are impressive, but the overall tone is grim and mean-spirited, with the repetitive story broken up only by crass, sexist humor. I give Need for Speed 1.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week in limited release at the Century Suncoast is the documentary Tim's Vermeer, in which magicians Penn and Teller follow inventor Tim Jennison as he attempts to recreate a painting by Dutch master Johannes Vermeer.
They called it painting with light. Vermeer painted with light. You can't paint with light. You have to paint with paint. And so what they're really talking about is this verisimilitude that Vermeer has.
In its best moments, Tim's Vermeer becomes a character study of this quiet, eccentric man who has the resources and the self-discipline to pursue his odd obsession to its endpoint. Mostly, though, it's a sort of scientific procedural, and even at 80 minutes, it feels a little drawn out. Penn and Teller tone down their typically snarky presence, and the result might have worked better as a PBS special. I give Tim's Vermeer 3 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and my blog at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is a man who has been at the center of Vegas, the show at Saks Theater, for nearly 4 years. He's a multi-talented performer who has played roles ranging from Ernie the Janitor, who has narrated the show, to Louis Prima, to Sammy Davis Jr., to even Sonny Bono.
Yes, that is a favorite. I love it.
This week, he left that production to pursue his dream of performing as a headliner. How and where will that happen? And when will he start his new adventure? Here to tell us all of that is the man himself, our friend Eric Jordan Young. Welcome back to the show, Eric.
Thank you.
Thanks. So what is happening? Wednesday night was your last night.
Absolutely.
At Saks Theater.
That's so bizarre because you opened it.
The first night
that you guys opened, it was, you know, even before anything You know, before the press nights, it was like really the rawest night. I mean, the very, very first night you guys did a show, Katz and I were front
there,
row.
Right.
Yeah.
Center.
That's right.
I remember.
Wet paint.
Yes.
You could smell the wet paint.
Yeah, you could smell the wet paint. Yeah. I mean, at the time, John Payton came in and was like doing filler. I mean, it was like.
Which is brilliant because if you could smell it, think about what I was smelling.
Exactly.
They were painting, I know, right up until you took the stage, right. Backstage, right?
Wow. I mean, it was a totally different show than what was a month or so later at press night. But, I mean, you were the first thing that we saw. I mean, literally the first person, the first thing in Vegas, the show ever on the first night. And now you're not there. You've been there every night since.
I know.
What led to this decision?
You know, there's just, you know, change happens. And it was, you know, one of those things where it was the end of my contract. And some decisions were made, and I just decided that, you know, if I'm going to move forward and try and pursue some of the dreams that I have of being a Las Vegas performer, I've always wanted to have my own project here in Las Vegas, and I'd really like to challenge the challenge of doing that right now. I'd like to do that. So,
but you were sort of featured. Well, not quite. I mean, again, it didn't say that it's your show. It was Vegas the show, but you were definitely the first name out there.
Yes.
That was associated with that. So, I mean, I would think that that's got to be. We talk about this with people like, for example, Rick Fagno, you know, things like that, like people that, you know, go on to do other things. And that's got to be a scary thing to leave a show where you're there every night and known for
It's definitely very, very scary. You know, the thing about the difference between. You know, a show like Jersey Boys and Vegas the Show is that honestly, you know, Rick's name was a little bit more out there than mine has been. Vegas the Show, there are a bunch of different, name performers in there, myself, Reva Rice, you know, we've got David Villela, and then we had a bunch of other people who came and left. But, you know, it's not like our names were on the forefront of the show. Mm-hmm. It's really all about Vegas, the show.
And those names came in with names.
Exactly.
Reva, Joshua Strickland also
came
in as known commodities.
We were
not famous because of the show, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, I have a career that, you know, brought me here from New York, mm-hmm. And it's something that I'm very proud of, and I was you know, invited to come out here and do Vegas the Show, and I jumped at the opportunity because I've always wanted to come back. I did Starlight Express here back in the early 90s at Las Vegas Hilton.
When you were 2 years old.
When
you
I
were
was
a
three
baby.
And a half.
You were a baby on those baby roller skates.
You know, and Reva were in that.
Yeah, we were both in that show, and to come back and have the opportunity to be in Vegas again was really, really special to me. But, you know, it is a very scary thing to leave a show like this, especially in this time when it is very successful. And every night after the show, we get to do a meet and greet, and I have the opportunity to see how the show affects people. And it's a very emotional thing. People love this town, and they love the talent that has been shared here in this city. And so it is something that is heartbreak for me to leave, but it's just that time.
Yeah, this coincides. And we've talked a little bit about this. It coincides with your contract ending,
right?
That you're leaving. Now, was this something that you decided you would walk away, or was it decided sort of for you?
You know, it's very interesting because a lot of people have come to me and they've asked me if my contract was renewed or if it wasn't mm-hmm. renewed. And in fact, my contract was renewed. A decision was made. You know, David made the decision to make some changes in the show and to economize the production in order to accommodate his business needs.
Mm-hmm. Sure. A similar thing happened in Peep Show. When Peep Show closed down and they got rid of the band, and there was a thing where it was pretty much well known that salaries were cut and different things happened in Peep Show. And a lot of people like Tara Paulsha, who was the original Red Riding Hood, who is now the featured dancer in your show, who's by far, I think, one of the best dancers, if not the best dancer here in Las Vegas. I think Tara's amazing. Mm-hmm. But that, you know, they lost a huge majority of their cast just because of that reason. And so it's not like this could be the first time that things like this happen.
Well, you know, I mean, that part of the conversation honestly makes me feel uncomfortable mm-hmm. because I don't, it's really,
it kind of coincided with the time maybe that you were ready.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, decisions were made and I took the opportunity to say, you know, this is a time for me that maybe the universe is speaking to me and I need to investigate the opportunities that are out there for me to jump into.
So specifically, what is the universe telling you? Where does the universe tell Eric Jordan Young to go, or and how do you proceed
well,
in your career?
Well, it's very funny, actually, because I've been directing a lot lately. I've been doing a lot of different choreography for projects. I have been writing a lot. I just debuted a song at the Composer Showcase in December that is actually being recorded and is going to be on an up-and-coming Las Vegas Artists CD, and I'll let him make that announcement. But it is it's a very exciting time in that I have been working on several different projects over the past couple of years that I would like to use as a vehicle here in the Las Vegas area. I have a production that is somewhat of a vehicle for me that is called Enjoy the Show. And I also have another act of mine that is very in the Sammy Davis Jr. world. And I also have a show that I created many years ago that was almost launched into a Broadway production, which was called Sammy and Me, which may be a little bit too textural for a Las Vegas audience. But I do want to continue to entertain, and I want to continue with my writing and directing and doing choreography. But I still have that need for getting up and having a relationship with the audience. And that's what I'd like to do. I want to maybe do a – I'd love to entertain the opportunity to be at the Smith Center one evening and then maybe, you know, showcase myself in a room here in town.
Like at Cabaret Jazz? Do something like what Travis Klor's done. And
yeah, absolutely.
Chris Hertzenberg has done these
like
shows.
Like a one-night-only kind of thing. That would be a lot of fun to do. But then on top of that, I would love to you know, I really like Matt Goss's formula. I think that he has a really great setup over there at Caesars,
it's where
he has
cool
a great room, and he's got people that show up there, and he gets to perform. And you know, it's not in a free setting, but it is something that he creates a really free energy and a free vibe. And so, if there is anybody out there that believes in me and you know, has the confidence in the talents of Eric Jordan Young.
And has a room and have some investment
exactly.
money set aside, right?
I have a question for you. I know that, for example, I know Wayne Newton has been offered a lot of Broadway roles and things like that.
Yes.
And he kind of shied away from them because it was a thing that his entire life he's used to except unless it's an acting role or something, but that he's used to kind of playing it by ear. He knows the first song and he knows there's going to be a ballad at a certain place because of pacing, but that changes from night to night. Mm-hmm. You know, he kind of knows the first song and then, you know, it's kind of like hang loose and, you know, kind of stick to a format of ballad, guitar, whatever, but different songs.
Yes.
And he said that he doesn't know, it would be very difficult for him to be inspired every night doing the exact same thing. He would have to find something because it's just not what he's been doing since he's been 6 years old performing. Now, you being in Broadway and also Vegas, the show, you are pretty much stuck to a format. Mm-hmm. Like you have to sing this song here and this choreography there. And how do you feel? I mean, is this something that's exciting for you that all of a sudden now it's complete freedom? Or is this kind of one of the first times you're branching out to do this?
I love that question. You know, it is, it's very scary, like you said before. But it's more on the exciting side because I would really. It gives me the opportunity to kind of lay out my own template and my own format. Being in a structured show is something that is very cool because you have the opportunity to kind of master the controls in a way. The things that are forcing you to stay within the action, you kind of have to form your performance towards that. But the excitement of being on stage doing your own product with arrangements that are written for you and they're all in your key and they are in a style that is all about what your energy is trying to do for a specific audience is something that I'm just excited about because the time flies by. Not that it doesn't in Vegas, the show, but, you know, when you're on stage as a solo artist, there's something about that constant communication with the audience. You're singing how you're feeling through the songs that you're engaging with the audience, and you just it's kind of like a, you know, depending on how long the show is, it's a 50-minute monologue from your heart. Whereas something like Vegas the Show, you get snippets of being able to mm-hmm. connect with the audience. So I'm really looking forward to not having my full snippet chopped up into moments. I'm looking forward to it being a full, energetic, you know, heartfelt throw towards the people that I'm communicating with out there.
I got to do this. You're listening to Cats with the Dish, John Katzalamidis with Tricia McCrone, sitting with Eric Jordan Young, who's just left Vegas the Show and is embarking on his own solo projects. Let's take a look at the template you talked about, Eric. I see that, you know, you're going to want to get in and do some showcase work mm-hmm. right away. I mean, I feel like you're starting to already develop that a little bit. You go and you put it into Cabaret Jazz, maybe, or somewhere, Inspire Theater downtown or wherever, you know.
Right.
What's that show exactly going to look like? Are you going to sample a Sammy a little bit in that? Are you going to sing in your own voice? I mean, how do you feel, because you're out there on your own for the first time in an expanded role in
right.
Las Vegas. Are you going to go more in develop your own individual personality? Are you going to go and do some, you know, some of the stuff we know you for from Vegas or what?
I would like to develop my own personality with the but bringing forward the things that I've already experienced. So mm-hmm. it's undeniable that who I am as a person and who I am as a talent has this I'm so attracted to the talents of Sammy Davis Jr.
Mm-hmm.
and so many other people that were inspired by him, Michael Jackson, Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a big Celine Dion fan, and her just seeing her show here in Las Vegas is such a true inspiration for a singer.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things that have inspired me will definitely become a part of what my show is. So there will be bits of Sammy Davis Jr. in there. There will be bits of some of the comedians that I absolutely loved when I was growing up. I'm a fan of all of the variety shows of the 1970s. So the show that I want to create has the energy of the Flip Wilson show.
I was just about to say Flip Wilson came
yeah.
to my brain. That is so weird.
That's yeah. the vibe that
uh-huh.
I
love.
Get out
Flip
of each other's heads. I swear to God, we all thought Flip Wilson.
That's a good thing. I'm glad. Yeah. Maybe.
Geraldine. I loved
exactly.
my Geraldine.
And it would go that far.
And everybody
as well.
Wanted to be on Flip Wilson, by the way.
Yeah.
Everybody
sure
was on
did.
That show. Uh-huh.
And I mean, I'm constantly watching the Carol Burnett show and even reruns of Sonny and Cher and the Donnie and Marie show, which was awesome when I was younger.
I had the dolls.
Another one everybody wanted to be on was Donnie and Marie.
Was Donnie and Marie. I mean, the Jacksons show was incredible. And I love that 1970s variety TV show template. And so I want to bring that into an energy that is the size of something similar to Vegas the Show and actually be able to do songs that I have put together and arrangements that I have put together and still be somewhat of a host like I just finished
mm-hmm.
And yet be able to bring in and adopt the energy of that 70s variety show. I think that's something that Las Vegas is kind of that it's absent of right now. I would love to bring back that style that Lola Falana had when she had a show mm-hmm. here.
A
lot
you
of
are
hot
killing
sexy...
me. Lola Falana has been in my head too.
Wow.
Okay, this is crazy.
Well, that's the thing that I want to do. I think that, you know, a lot of our industry right now is moving back towards people wanting to see live entertainment, true live entertainment. And one of the things that you can do in this environment, meaning Las Vegas, is you can introduce people to someone that they have never met mm-hmm. anywhere else in the media and give them the opportunity to see that they're seeing someone that is true of talent, true of energy, and true in their intention. And that's what I would like to communicate to people who come to this town, mm-hmm. that you can have a good time with someone that may not be on the hugest worldwide radar of celebrity.
For example, I mean, you know, Danny Gans, the late Danny Gans, who was just brilliant, and even Gordy Brown, and go on and on. Matt had the big hit in London with the brothers, the bros, or whatever he was with his brother, and you know, and now Frankie Marino, people that are known very well in Las Vegas, but you go other places in the country and they're not, but yet they get such a huge exposure here and the city really embraces them. And that's very unlike a lot of cities.
Well, it's such an incredible thing because honestly, this is a gambling town.
Yeah.
And that's something that infuses this whole energy of the city. And so why not take a gamble on entertainment as well?
Mm-hmm.
Take a gamble on somebody that you see a picture of and that they have, you know, you've heard that they're a great singer, you've heard they're a great dancer, you've heard that they're really good at, you know, connecting with the audience, and come on in and sit down and have a good time with somebody that you may not have met before. But once you have that connection, hey, you're forever a fan. You know,
What I thought was always very interesting in Vegas, the show, is obviously I know that nobody is trying to impersonate anybody. You're more paying homage to them.
Yes.
That and their influences. I mean, that's obvious because it's quite obvious that Sonny Bono was not an African American.
Oh my gosh, you're killing me. I didn't know that.
Just, I know. No one, I don't know if anyone.
How did they keep that a secret?
Filled you in on that one. But that that's one of my favorite moments in the show. Like when you come out as Sonny, it was like one of my.
Wig. What was the line you used? Is it the wig? What did you say? Or is it the way white people were staring
well,
at you?
You know, I just thought it was because I'm not as short as they remember.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
Every time, it just made me smile. It was one of those great things that made me smile. But you are everybody that comes out and they do the different tributes, I guess is the best way to say it, to all of these legendary Las Vegas performers. You're the only one that breaks that wall. You were the only one that broke that wall, that you were part of the Rat Pack scene as Sammy, but then everybody goes and you actually kind of break that barrier and would come down and talk about you yourself and the influence on Sammy Davis Jr.
Yes.
Was that something that you asked for or something that they gave you? Because you are the only one that does that. Everyone else, nobody comes out and really speaks as themselves other than you.
Right. It was a collaborative thing, most definitely. I felt the need to honor Las Vegas history by honoring, you know, to honor Sammy Davis Jr., actually, and his history in this town by breaking out and letting people know that, you know, these individuals, we all wouldn't be here and probably having our entertainment be in the way that it is right now if we didn't have someone like Sammy breaking down those barriers.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just very important to me. So when I did join the show, I did express my opinion about that, and it was well received. So I'm glad that I had that opportunity to break through. And it's really a special thing to be able to be the host of an evening. It gives me the flexibility to, like I said, connect with the audience and make them feel comfortable. When you walk into a show, the one thing that you're thinking is, oh my goodness, I hope that these people are okay, because if they can't sing, if they can't dance, then I'm going to feel uncomfortable for the next 50 to 80 minutes. So it's my job, or was my job, to make everyone feel as comfortable as they possibly could. And being given the opportunity to break that barrier and kind of be myself is something that I most definitely accepted the invitation
for. As the host, you were mainly the janitor character.
Right. Yes.
So that was like really the only time that you did that. So
right.
I always thought that was interesting, that was the only break in that kind of fourth wall, I guess you could say.
I think the audience begs for it.
Yeah.
And they really appreciated it.
I liked it.
They really want to feel, you know, at ease.
It was a way to explain what they were going to see in an artful way.
Right.
You know, instead of saying, okay, here's what's going to happen, guys. This is going to be a sample platter of Las Vegas entertainment. Sit back and enjoy it. But you did it in a way that fit an arc in the show, and you came in and you were the
For some reason, the raiding the Rock Vault just came to mind with the actors.
What is that fern there? Anyway, Eric, we got to wrap it up here. But right now, you're looking to get yourself out there to do some showcase work, to get somebody behind you and get some support outside of Vegas, the show. So we're behind that.
And
thank
ladies,
you.
Please go to his website. There are some very sexy, hot pictures on that website. So I'm just recommending. I don't even care if you really are that interested. You cannot not look at that and be interested. If you've never seen him before, the pictures will get you onto his site, and then you can appreciate his talent.
Well, that's going to be in my new show, too. So
Eric Jordan, ericjordanyoung.com.
I'm buying tickets now.
And be prepared, folks. ericjordanyoung.com is the site. Be prepared. I was looking up his bio a couple times recently, and I'm like, whoa, is that Eric? Anyway, it's good to see you.
Leave that up. I need to read more.
Fully clothed.
I went to your website for the bios.
Right. It's Ernie
and
the
got the bio.
Right.
All right. EJY, we'll talk to you again, and when you do a showcase, we'll bring you back in and we'll talk about that, all right?
Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming down.
All right.